Today is June 14th, and we, Rachel and I, Marissa, are interviewing Professor Wilson Wong about synthetic biology, policies, and practices.
All right, so could you please define the term synthetic biology?
I would say genetic engineering, basically. Genetic engineering, it almost always has to involve some kind of genetic engineering. It might or might not need to be any living cells. It might or might not produce any proteins, but it almost certainly involving rearrangement of DNA sequences. That's what I would say. And then the synthetic biology, I would say it's much more goal-oriented in terms of, like, it's slightly less on trying to understand basic principle of biology, but more of trying to achieve a specific behavior. That's probably what I would say of synthetic biology. It's very, very broad. It blurs the line between, molecular biology, and if it's involved proteins, high protein engineering, a lot of transcription control, aside from that, I like to tell people who's not in the field of synthetic biology that I work on genetic engineering. I think that's how I actually go talk about it. It's more design driven. That's about it. People like to say have a more engineering principle applied to it. It's more rigorous to some extent. I'm not sure in a small scale that's true. If you want to work in a larger scale in a more complex organism, engineering principles applies, but the mathematics less relevant, I would say. But aside from that, it's really hard to define what synthetic biology is.
We'd have to agree. What would you say synthetic biology means to you? What's its significance to you?
It means, to me, it creates new behavior, especially in living organisms. It doesn't have to be, but for me, it's a mean to create new behavior in cells, to have greater control over cellular function. I will say you can achieve a lot of these things, like this behavior. For a long time, people do that with drugs. Let's say, with small molecule drugs and proteins, biologics. I would say more and more so if you want to achieve more complex behavior. Especially in something that lives, okay? You have to do genetic engineering. You have to. So in that sense, that's what synthetic biology allows you to do. So it's also different than genome editing, per se. Genome editing usually involves basically cutting or adding DNA sequences to the genome. It's a very difficult thing to do, used to be. It's easier now. But the behavior that you can program just on genome editing alone is not sufficient. You do need, like, for example, let's say control gene expression in a spatial temporal manner, responding to drugs that are pharmacokinetically favorable, have good PK. These require synthetic biology, chemical biology, genome editing a lot of times, so they all work together. So for me, SynBio, it's a collection of tools and strategies and philosophy, almost a spirit. of reprogramming cellular behavior to achieve a certain goal, predefined goal.
Thank you. Could you please describe your field of work and why you're performing research in this field?
I'm interested in using synthetic biology to improve therapy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drives me these days. Used to be just for fun. Like 10 years ago, it was just the coolest thing. Well, 15 actually. 15, so 15, I started 2001. So it's like, yeah, 15 years ago, it was just like the coolest thing for me. Now, I see an opportunity where you can improve therapeutics, especially cancer these days, but it goes beyond cancer therapeutics. And I think genetic engineering will play a huge role. Synthetic biology, genetic engineering will play a huge role. So I think in some cases it's possible to use genetically engineered immune cells to cure cancer.
That's what you're working on, right?
Yes.
I know Davis Barocki did something like that.
Yes.
For a senior project in your lab.
Yes. So I'm very excited about the prospect of that. Many people are as well. So that's what I'm trying to do. I think it's an unsubstantiated belief that if I can have great control or complete control over the immune system, I can cure a lot of disease. Not everything, but
a lot.
Or I think it will benefit a reasonable amount, a significant number of people. So that's what I'm working on, trying to figure out all these different ways to control cells, especially immune cells. I don't know what is the best way yet. That's why I'm trying to invent as many different tools as possible and try to evaluate them. What's the best? What's the advantage and disadvantages of these approaches that I'm developing? Maybe some one of those will be useful.
Why would you say the public should care about synthetic biology, the non-scientific community?
Oh, it can save their lives. I really think so. There are many, many applications, right? I think the most immediate one, in my line of work, it's like if I'm successful, if I can actually ask the immune cell to go only kill the cancer cell but not the normal tissue, it will save many people's lives, right? Especially in cancer, I would say most people, unfortunately, they either will have cancer or will know someone that they care about will develop cancer. That's just the way it is these days. I think it could be lives. I mean, it's already proven, at least in some cases, like with this chimeric antigen receptor for acute lymphoblastic leukemia, it's life-saving for some of the patients, right, where nothing else worked. So on that front alone, I feel like they should care. On a broader scale, I think genetic engineering and synthetic biology can solve a lot of problems. For environmental remediations. I think human health diagnostics, like Jim Collins' work, right, is one great example of diagnostic applications. I don't even want to go into food. These things are very controversial, but I believe, improving crops, yield, resistant to pest and, dry conditions, they all, I think, will be important. So, but if you don't want to say, okay, don't touch my food, okay, fine. I think SynBio is still relevant in medicine. That's not even talking about basic science that it can help, that will eventually lead to better medicine. So, Yeah, that's why I think, you know, the public should know the... I think what's important at the end is know the limitations and the potential of SynBio. It's actually overhyped to some extent. There's a lot of misconceptions. There's definitely a lot of wrong information.
What kind of misconceptions do you think there are?
It depends on what field you're talking about. Especially you talk about food, right? Mm-hmm. When you talk about GMO, there's a lot of misconception of what genetic engineering, what it does to the food and how that impact the human health, right? They think that you engineer the crops and then you're putting pesticide into the crops, for example, right? And it's bad for you. I think that's nonsense. that's ridiculous. So in that context, there's a lot of misconception, right? People don't want DNA in their food, which is ridiculous, right? You cannot eat food. I don't know what kind of food you can eat that doesn't have DNA in it. But in terms of even therapy, with the chimeric antigen receptor, with immunotherapy, there might be... I'm bullish in terms of like what it can do, but sometimes I worry that people think it can cure everything, right? It cannot. So we have to worry about that. In terms of, it is basically gene therapy, right? So, but luckily, well, not luckily, we tend to be less concerned with gene therapy on live, safe, like life-threatening diseases because alternative is worse because... is suffering and death. It's not. I think we can tolerate gene therapy. But I do worry about the promise, you know, like, or the overpromise. Because we still don't know. I'm sure it will fail at some point. Like, some of the things that we think we can do, we can't deliver. Right? Or it takes another 10, 15 years before we figure it out. We're going to hit some roadblock, for sure. And then ethical issues, of course, especially in terms of gene therapy, right? If it's, I don't think it will ever become heritable, but if, you know, someone do something wrong, let's say, you know, start messing with germlines, that's an issue.
So that kind of bleeds into the next question. In terms of synthetic biology and genetic engineering, what do you feel the public is most concerned about?
I think that's, well, in terms of, let's say not forget human for now.
All right.
I just say that if you engineer other organisms, of course, if they are heritable, right, then you start spreading, right, you start propagating. And what are the consequences of those kind of genetic modifications and how that affect the ecosystem, we don't know. And there's no experiment to figure that out, right? So I think that's a concern. I think the public are concerned about what they eat, right? Is it going to hurt my baby, right, basically? I think that's the most important thing. If I'm going to feed this genetically engineered corn to my son, is it going to hurt him or her, right, or your daughters? So I think that's probably things that worry people the most. That's how I feel. I would be concerned too if I don't know what's going on. What did you do to my corn, right? What did you do to the apple, right, that my son's eating? I think designer baby is something that that can be troublesome, right? I think, but what's also problematic is that people don't know, right? Whether if you do a gene therapy, you don't know whether it's heritable. Right, most people don't understand genetics. Right, so I think that's a concern. Right, we need to educate, basically. Right.
All right, so what kind of interactions do you have with the non-scientific community, and how do you make that non-scientific community interested in your work?
Whenever I talk to people who are not in the field, I try to focus on therapeutic applications of SynBio. That's more, I think it's less, it's less scary to some extent. Also, you know, we put poisons in people, basically, to treat cancer.
Yeah.
So the alternative, gene therapy, is less scary. But whenever you deal with problems that, even though it's grand but non-life-threatening, people get concerned, right? Like, you know, crop yield. It's a big problem, right? We probably won't have enough food to feed everybody in the future. But it's not something that we worry about now, especially in America, right? We throw things away all the time. So if you talk about it, you're going to engineer my apple, of course they're going to be... I try not to go there, even though I think it's an important problem. So I try to illustrate, like, SynBio, you know, there's, like, the alternative. If you don't do these gene therapy type approach, will, you know, the consequences, you know, it's really, really bad for the patients. And the gain is huge. And it doesn't affect, you know, other people who's not sick, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, you fix the crops here, but you messed up the, right? That's the concern, is that, you know, you grow these, like, whatever crops that you have, and then it mess up the ecosystem. So even though people who have food suffer because, you know, we made a mistake somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real concern. I'm not trying to dismiss that. I think it's a real concern.
Going back, what kind of interactions do you have with the non-scientific community?
Well, there are, you know, people who, you know, students who are younger. I guess students, I wouldn't say they're non-scientific, but, you know, the younger students who are less, who are not as proficient in the science. You know, outreach efforts with museums and things like that.
Do you seek those out, or do they come to you?
Oh, they, well, a little bit both, right? People ask us to participate, and, you know, I don't have to go, right? I go. It's a little bit both. I don't go call a Museum of Science, for example, and say, hey, can I do an exhibit, right? But it's a little bit both.
Is your research publicly funded, like through the NSF or the NIH, or is it funded privately by non- or for-profits?
My research?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, both. Mostly, well, I got funding from NSF, NIH, and private companies.
Does the majority of your funding come from the federal government?
Yeah.
And would you say that you're receiving adequate funding to accomplish your research?
Do I have adequate funding for my research? Never.
Never.
Never enough. I have ambitious goals. People think I'm crazy. Right? And there's never enough money. Well, I guess not enough. Like, it depends on... I can always use more funding to do things I want to do. Like, I want to have complete control over the immune system, right? Yeah, I can always use more people to help me do that.
That makes sense. I'm going back a little bit, again... more with the previous question, but do you feel that you personally adequately reach out and inform the non-scientific community about your work?
No, I don't. I don't. That's because I'm kind of a... I don't go out as much as I should have, I would say.
Do you feel like you don't have the time or don't have the opportunity or?
Definitely time. Opportunities, they are there. I feel, time is a big factor. It's also personality.
What would you say is the best way to reach out to the non-scientific community then? You mentioned museums before, but are there other modes you think that would be effective?
I guess I hate standing in front of... well, that's not true. I mean... well, I think with these days and age, I guess, you know, there's probably a much, well, there are mechanisms now to reach broad audience. I don't think we are tapping that well, at least my impressions, or at least I don't see it done very well from the community yet. I think what's important is I haven't figured out how to do it. How do you educate the public about the science? I think that's the most important thing. So that involving a lot of, I don't think going out and talk by scientists like me will be very effective, right? You don't. It needs to be done professionally, with you know, materials, I guess. Right? So if I go out there and go to give a lecture about my science, come on, you know, people start to fall asleep. I can try really hard to make it more accessible, but. I'm sure there are other people who are much better at doing it than I am.
So you think maybe a curriculum in schools or something?
Like, I would say videos, teaching materials, like exhibits in Museum of Science, things like that, will be important. Yes, and then also teaching our younger generation, I think that's also important too. I think we gotta start now, and we do well for like 20 years, the world will change, right? Because it will influence our policy, right? Because the younger kids grow up, they vote. If they understand, right, how things actually work, as opposed to I don't want food in my DNA, I don't want DNA in my food, then. Right?
Yeah.
Then you don't get worried about genetically modified food. Like, for example, you don't worry about genetic engineering if you know, like, it's not a common sense to people what genetic and like what genetic is. Right? If we can change that, you know, that will be important. I mean, that will make a huge difference. I'm not sure how. It has to be a very organized effort. Right? It's not just me going out there and yap. That will be a disaster. Or like, film me talking. I think that would be, you know, and then put a video on YouTube, you'll get like 5 views, right? And people will watch for like 1 minute and then stop, right? It's like, you know, this is the worst thing ever. So, you know, I think you can do it well with like cartoons and games, maybe. You know, there's a lot of different ways, and then, you know, it will be. Yeah, I don't know, right? I think games will be fun.
We agree. a lot of iGEM teams have actually made games before on synthetic biology.
Which I think is interesting.
Alright, so do you feel that your research is protected from infringement? And does that impact your openness to discuss your work with the general population?
My work is... yes. Yes, it does. Because I do work in a... I work on immunotherapy,
mm-hmm.
which is probably the hottest thing right now
mm-hmm.
in the biotech, in the pharmaceutical world, these days. So there is significant commercial interest in what I do. The field, not particularly my work, it's just the field. So, yes, I do have to protect it. I don't feel like I cannot talk to people because of that, though. I can tell people what I do in general. I just can't tell them the very, very specific of what I do. But I think to the general public, they don't really care anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But do you
what
feel...
About,
sorry.
What about to your peers, though, to other researchers?
Yeah, I do have to hide it a little bit, unfortunately. There's a lot of... at the end of the day, it's not so much... Well, I am thinking about sharing everything without protecting licensing or anything like that. I'm not sure what is the ramifications of that. I'm just gonna be honest. At the end, I don't feel like my stuff will be like blockbuster or anything like that. But at the same time, you know, things don't get. Like therapy don't get developed if nobody can make a dime out of it, right? You know, if no one can, because it costs so much money to develop, it's not a piece of software where you know you can just where the development cost is not as high, failure rate, like software doesn't they don't fail. Right, you can fix it. Right, that's how I feel like. Right, people might not like your piece of software, but it will work. Right, it will do what you want to do, and if it doesn't, you can fix it. But if a drug fails, you know it fails, and then it costs so much money. Sometimes you can't fix it, and you don't know why. So it's because of the investment, I feel like, people, you know, no one will invest, will push this drug forward if no one can make. Like any money off of it, right? And it will just sit there, right? Government's not gonna pick it up, nonprofit organization's not gonna pick it up, right? No one has the money, so I think it's important to protect. But I don't think, you know, especially the things I do, I don't really develop a therapy for that drug per se. I develop a way to control cells, which can be used in many many different therapies. So it's a platform, it should be more open, right? Ideally, everybody who's doing immunotherapy is using some of the things I'm doing, right? It should be an enabling technology. So I do want to be more open. I don't know how to do these things yet, to be honest. In terms of policies, in terms of how to... structure these kind of deals. I have no idea how to do that.
But do you feel like overall, does BU protect your work sufficiently from infringement? Your non-patented work and your patented work?
So far, yes. It's pretty standard, I feel like. At the same time, I don't have that much work where people are trying to steal yet, I feel. Not yet. It's still very early stage. I don't think, like, you know, there are other competitors who are like commercial people who are trying to take away. I mean, it's very risky, the things I want to do. So, I mean, not yet. I think maybe if it works, then like in people, then yeah, then there will be probably issues. But at this stage, I don't feel like, you know, I probably have a hard time trying to convince people to take my stuff rather than the other way around.
Makes sense. And then
what regulations do you feel should be in place on synthetic biology?
Particularly in your research. Or
also what do you think needs to be lifted?
I think definitely no engineering human in terms of that can be have germline transmission. I don't believe in that. I don't know. Right, there's a lot of gray area, and then, let's say you know that. I definitely know engineering baby for the sake of like having like taller babies or, you know, whatever eye colors you want. Definitely not that. That's how I feel. The gray area where you know that, you know, the fetus is sick or have genetic defects. That's
probably not transmit. Okay, yeah, definitely nothing that can be transmitted. I feel like it can be heritable. That's how I feel.
Other kinds of regulations. Yeah, pathogen engineering. I think the regulations. I don't know. My feeling is that none of us really know what to do yet. Like in terms of like how do you engineer pathogens, how much should you be engineering pathogens? I honestly don't know if the regulations are sufficient or too much. To be honest, it's an unknown world.
So are you not that familiar with regulations besides the molecular biology
that's
and BSL,
true. That's
recombinant
true.
DNA? You don't know much besides what you need to keep your lab in.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's a fair statement to say.
So do you feel like it would be beneficial for to have like a pamphlet or something that outlines major policies that may apply to your research?
Oh yeah, yes, I think so.
Or
I think
the
so.
Article that outlines everything? Sorry, I'm sorry. Besides, this is excluding recombinant DNA research because I feel you.
Those we're familiar with.
Because it keeps you in compliance with the ROHP.
I guess I'm thinking about the bigger issues of not so much, well, I guess the research side, I think, the regulations involved in the research, it's, I think it's sufficient, I would say, to some extent. But then when things get, like things that can potentially be released from the lab, I think those regulations I'm not too familiar. And I don't even know, that for sure, that's something that I don't know. I don't even know if, who really thinks about these things. And yeah, I need to figure out, you know, whether I agree with them too. The things I worry a lot is people who make these policies are not
fluent in science.
Yeah. They're not the practitioner, I would say. They know some, but they're not practitioner. They don't know. One of the things I worry about is they worry about things that are not feasible anyway. So that is my belief.
Phenomenal. I think that's it, right, Melissa? Oh, I've got one more. So generally, regulation falls under one of three. Regulation of synthetic biology falls under one of three federal, what are they called, divisions, organizations?
Yeah.
The EPA, the FDA,
mm-hmm.
and the NIH. Do you know where you fall under, or if you need to even worry about being underneath one of these regulatory divisions?
Well, I deal with health a lot.
So you're probably with NIH.
And well, yeah, NIH for research and FDA for drug approval. There's no ethical issues, I feel like. Well, for drug approval, I know a little bit more about the regulations involved. Of course, in terms of these cell-based therapy regulations, FDA is working hard trying to figure out how to regulate cell-based therapy. That's not a unique problem to synthetic biology. It's a cell-based therapy problem where you try to sell people basically a huge, highly complex product that is not uniform in quality.
That must be a nightmare. But the fact that synthetic biology falls under three agencies, do you think that's clunky and a little bit inefficient? Do you think there's any way we could change it, or if you'd
no,
want to change
no,
it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it needs to be changed. I think at the end, it's the application of synthetic biology. It's not, because it can apply in many different places, right? It's like, you know, if you have a computer programmed, but then it controls a medical device. Okay, so that's going to be regulated by, you know, FDA, right, that certifies medical devices. So it's not like, you know, computer science, how do you regulate computer science? If you write codes for that controls a missile, it's, you know, that's going to have a different kinds of regulations, right? I think synthetic biology is like that. If you're going to engineer food crops, okay, it's going to be EPA, maybe NIH, but maybe FDA too, right? But it's just strictly for medicine, then it's okay, FDA, right? I don't feel like there should be a separate agency or centralized agency specifically for synthetic biology, but then if it's going to be so broad and then synthetic biology is start making materials for defense applications, and that definitely is not going to be FDA, right? And I don't know if you can have a centralized agency that can regulate, you know, a cell therapy product, and then let's say someone's making weapons with SynBio. I'm not saying I agree with that, but
it's actually illegal to make biological weapons.
Sure,
and
but
international treaty.
Well, I'm not saying that you're trying to use it as an infectious agent, but let's say you make explosive with it, right? Make material that can be explosive, let's just say that. That explode underwater, let's say that. I don't know. Then that's a whole different kind of regulations.
Yeah.
Right. I try not to think about these things. It's too big. The problem is, you know, SynBio can address very, very global problems, you know, that affect everybody, which is great. That's the power of it. I think it's great that we're having these conversations about regulations. I try not to get into it because I don't know how to deal with it. I guess that's my problems. I focus on human health, partly because it's partly because the regulations is I kind of know what's expected, I would say. Even though I don't, you know, then it's a lot of the time it's involved like quality control. it's not an ethical issue.
That makes sense.
So, as we were saying before, that we were thinking about making an article or a brochure or a pamphlet, et cetera, what way do you think, or what mode would be the best for you for getting that information out there, for getting policies and regulations out there so that researchers are just more aware of them?
Yeah, the best way to present the information about regulations and policies to PIs such as yourself. Brochure, software program,
video. What would be the best?
Review article.
A very short video, well done. Not like some guy like me start yapping for like 5 minutes. I think even less than 2 minutes video, maybe, with links to, the relevant informations. I don't know. The best way is to make, like, I think to get people like us care about it is to get FDA, to get NIH and NSF and DARPA, make every one of us read it.
Like make it a requirement?
Yeah, we don't fund you if you don't read this.
That is funny. All right.
Okay.
Then it will be read, it will be memorized. If you hit us in the pocket.
Phenomenal. All right. That's all we have for you.
Okay.
So
all right.
Thank you for allowing us to connect.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sure. My pleasure.
Well, it actually was just over 30 minutes. Okay, never mind. It's 40 minutes.